beings from other places that come to visit us on Earth, and from time to time they drop down and talk to some of our population. True, they have never talked to me, that I know about, but we do know a number of people that they have talked to. And we know a number of people who have spent a great deal of time and effort in studying this particular activity that seems to be going on, who have spent a lot of time collecting data. And more than just data, in many cases, hardware and artifacts and things that we can touch and see that are imprints of the extraterrestrial who have been here. And we have some ideas of why and what they're doing. And to help us with that tonight is a gentleman who certainly has been deeply involved in one of the cases that, in fact, it was the case of that we dealt with on the very first Open Mind show back in 1979, the Billy Meyer case. Billy Meyer, one-armed farmer in Switzerland, started reporting that he was having an unusual series of occurrences in his life, and that was a visitation from astronauts who claimed to be from the planet Era, located in the Pleiades star cluster. Now, I know that that's very hard and difficult for us to just assimilate and accept matter-of-factly. And Billy Meyer knew that, too, so he did produce a lot of evidence that this was pretty much the case. The evidence came in the form of photographs and movie footage, came in the form of rock and mineral samples and samples of alloy. And with us tonight is a gentleman who has spent time himself with Billy Meyer, who's become very, very involved in what Billy Meyer has learned from the people from Pleiades, and I'd like for you to say hello to him. And George, you say hello to the folks. This is George Green. Welcome to Open Mind, George.
Good evening.
Glad to have you there. Pull it a little bit closer to you, it'd be all right. Why, what is it about the Billy Meyer case that attracted your attention, and why would you be interested at all anyway?
Well, I was personally involved with one connection.
Push that little red button. There you go.
I was personally involved with a connection where I had observed a flying saucer, as we quote them, when I was in the Air Force. We had one of the craft at one of the bases that I was at. And
when you were in the Air Force, a craft, a flying saucer, something from another world, was in the possession of the United States Air Force at that Air Force military base, and you saw
it? Yes.
Okay.
But we were told to tell the public, if they saw it, that it was an ion-powered craft designed by Sikorsky.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all that was said.
I imagine that would have been a bulletin to Sikorsky that they were designing that craft.
Well, I was assigned to a research center, and we were working on a lot of aircraft, so everything was kind of hush-hush. And
what air base was this?
Edwards Air Force Base.
It was at Edwards Air Force Base.
That's true.
So you yourself stand as an eyewitness, as a member of the American military, the Air Force, at Edwards Air Force Base, and you saw this craft in one of the hangars at Edwards Air Force Base.
That's true.
Okay. Go ahead.
From that point on, I was aware of different sightings because I read the papers and I listened to the different information like everybody else has. A few years back, I ran across the copy of UFO Contact from the Pleiades, Volume 1, that was put out by Genesis. And in it had the most fantastic photographs that I had seen. I had to get a copy of that from my own collection. I attempted in several methods to get a hold of it, and with no success, I finally flew down and talked to the publishers and agreed to help them get out the Volume 2, in which we did do.
So you put some money in the publishing of Volume 2?
Yes, I did.
So you really did get interested in it, enough to reach into your pocketbook?
I financed the project, mm-hmm, so it could go on. From that point on, I decided to check into even more information, and I flew to Switzerland. Was there a couple of times where this contact actually went on. And I met Billy and met the rest of the people, did a lot of my own investigation so I could feel comfortable with the information I had, realizing that anybody can create things. The evidence is preponderance to us. The people there are very exacting in what the information they're given. It's all the same information. There is some occurrence that's going on, has been coming on, and is still going on.
Mm-hmm.
Billy is a very spiritual person who has nothing to gain, not economically at least. He would like to be supporting and receive something out of these things because he's been bombarded by everybody from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
his information or his mission, so to speak, to the general public and to the world was to give out the information. He has been given this mission, so to speak, to correct some mistakes that the Palladians say they've done in previous history.
What kind of mistakes have the Palladians done?
Well, they have always picked, it seems like, people that are not highly technical to give the information to, and they were to disseminate it or tell the people what they felt was correct. And people, like they do today, say, lay laugh about it. And they won't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
The Palladians went into a big role with the time of Jesus as such.
Mm-hmm.
They were in communication with him, and it seems to appear from documentation that he actually was in communication with him.
Mm-hmm.
Billy, as far as it may seem, was actually taken back in time to meet him.
Yes, I've heard those stories, and they're quite fascinating, and you have to look at them from two different points of view. Number one, it is something that Billy is relating. You have to look at the validity of the other information that he has given you. And a lot of that seems to be very, very valid. So why would he just make this out, you know? It's hard for us to understand the ability to move back and forth in time. But we are, and as we've discovered on the show from time to time from different sources, that this is certainly something that's not out of our realm of scientific understanding right now, the ability to do that.
No, the areas that he was discussing and going back, they did give us evidence that he did have some kind of transferring in time. He stopped by a priest in France that the Palladians were in contact a few hundred years ago. And while he was there, absentmindedly, he left his flashlight. And now we have story independently that this priest in France had a magic torch. No explanation, but we do have a book which seems to independently verify that there was something going on from him. Now, Billy didn't make this up. It just happened. The second information that we get was that there was a Greek priest who was doing some translating of some material that was in resin, supposedly the writings of the time of Jesus from Judas. And these writings that were being translated were of such a tenuous nature, we'll say, that the Greek priest was subsequently killed for. The Palladians were in contact with this Greek priest. Subsequently, Billy became the contactee, and he took over this task also. Now, this is just one of the areas. Some of the other information, and it's all, there's approximately 2,000 pages of notes that Billy had, was written down from a telepathic communication basis.
Mm-hmm.
Billy would go up into one of the beam ships or be in contact with them, either telepathically or in direct communication. Somehow when he came back, and in Billy's words was, his mind became almost like a blank, and he would be able to sit down in like an automatic writing, or he would start typing. And he could type out the information word for word. And his contactee, a girl by the name of Semyonsi, explained to him, as he asked her further, that he felt like he was just being plugged into a computer and reprogrammed word for word what had happened to him. And she verified that that was the information. So Billy was on a big exploration of the whole communications that they were given.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears somehow that Billy happens to have some kind of a frequency of his mind that he's generating, so that he's being observed by a lot of ETs. When I was over there last year, I talked to a neighbor farmer, and he walked out in the morning and said, a lot of interesting things going out there. He says, last week when I got up, I walked out and there was a man 7 meters tall leaning against the barn. 7 meters being about 21 feet.
That's pretty big phone.
Yeah. And then we went back up and talked to the group around Billy, and they were discussing people that were 10 inches tall. And they showed us plaster casts of the footprints that they had. And they were trying to explain that they're being visited by all kinds of ETs. They may not be there physically. They may come in and have leave lights or traces or things that's going on, but Billy appears to just be a magnet for all these people coming around.
Sort of a port in a storm, as it were.
Well, I think I just come back from China. It's kind of like when I was there. Everybody took us out to see the panda bear. I think Billy's in the same position. A lot of, somehow in this collective, you know, universe, they say, well, drop by and see Billy. He's tuned into us.
Yeah.
And so that's what they do.
Does he get a chance to talk with him much? Or communicate with them, or they just roam around?
He doesn't go into a lot of detail. He does communicate with quite a few of them that he wants to. He doesn't say a lot outside of his own group because he's been,
uh-huh.
you know, chastised so much from people. At this point, he just said, I have my mission. Here's the information. Take it for what you want. I got involved because I wanted to get all the information out, let the people maybe be their own judge. The notes, which we have copies of, are so fascinating because even though they're things that I would say as a scientist or analytically looking at them, say, well, now that's not going to be possible, as things keep progressing, they are possible because there's nothing that we find that's not impossible with our mind thoughts. They give us a lot of clues on how their propulsion works. I've been comparing them, the Palladian connection with Billy, with other connections with Wendell Stevens, who's been doing mm-hmm. research on this also, on other extraterrestrial contacts throughout the world. And they seem to have a lot of same similarities and same goals that they find out.
And the propulsion systems.
And the propulsion systems. The key seems to be, in all the stories they talk about, there's a crystal of some kind. And the crystal appears to be a collector. And it seems to be enhanced. In our own terminology today, we have a lot of computers that are running by solar now. Everybody buys a little solar computer. So you're collecting the light. It's being transferred to a small computer. They somehow are enhancing the power, taking out what they say the light again, and use this as a collector source in order to increase a frequency variation above aboard their ships. And this seems to be the power that they use for travel throughout the universe in any time. They do say in their notes that no humans, quote, have ever used a carbon-based system for interplanetary travel. Their communications say that the travel that we went to the moon and all this is all within our little structure, and that's always happened. And they had the same problems of life and death when they were experimenting with it. But when they find the secret of frequency and the secret of collecting the light, and there's some clue into this, and through the crystalline structure, then we will have the keys in order to unlock the power of travel interdimensionally through other planets.
So we no longer need to burn fossil fuels of one form or another.
The changes in the fossil fuels in the last 50 years, for instance, we were talking about the sperm whale. That was, everybody was up in the air because that was the only way we could light our lamp.
Uh-huh.
And we were going to killing off the sperm whale. Now what we have? All the oil wells and everything else. And we're going to do the same thing. The next energy source that we have to look at has to be something to do with the natural waves throughout the universe. And it seems to be a key in all the universal contacts that we get. And it is done by some form of electromagnetism.
We discussed that at great length of this program, the new wave of energy that is descending upon us quite rapidly. And it falls quite much in line with what you're saying is coming out of the Billy Meyer notes. The science that is already with us and that is in the laboratory and is being studied very, very closely by a lot of people. The thing that's interesting to me is the contact now with Billy Meyer, or the interest in the people from Pleiades and him, seems to have waned here recently. What's happening?
Well, Billy was given a mission.
Mm-hmm.
To get out the information. And I think that's the information, however, that was given out somehow or whatever way, method was made so was not got out to the public. I think that the general public should be able to look at 100% of what the information that they have, and rather than having it...
little bits and pieces.
Little bits and pieces, a little here and a little there. It's not for me to judge whether the validity or not. This is the information that he has. It appears that the information is from their point of view, whether the Palladians or whether it's Billy's mine that's come out, the information that shows that there is a lot going on, and it makes you ponder and think.
Well, there seems to be a lot going on. I know we've talked about on the show before, a couple of months ago, there was quite a formation of flying saucers appeared over Tucson, Arizona. Just before I came on the air tonight, I got another report from Tucson that it happened again yesterday and was seen by a lot of people, and we will have a report from Tucson a little later on in the show as to what happened. About 60 of them flew over Tucson again. And what interest do they have in Tucson?
Well, this happened, like you say, a couple of months ago, and I contacted Colonel Stevens. We discussed it. Then we contacted Switzerland, and I discussed it with the group over there, and directly two of the members, to discuss with Billy whether or not the Palladians were in communication at that time. And the story that we got back was that the Palladians were pulling out. They had a base around Tucson. Now, I heard this before.
Uh-huh.
They left before because their contact in Tucson wasn't able to get the information out, or he was working on some other area. Now, I don't know. The Palladians had their own understanding of what they wanted to let us know. But they did say that there was a base there and that they were going to be leaving the Earth for some reason. In Switzerland, they have just left. I think there's three of them left as of the last couple of months, we understand, of a group that was maybe 50 or 60 that was in a base that they had in the Swiss mountains. They tell us that if we walk right up to the place, that we wouldn't be able to see it because they could alter our mind if we happen to be looking for them, which also appears happening in a lot of cases.
Well, that ends that expedition. I was thinking about going over to find that unused base. That might have been a fascinating thing to see. Let's take a break. I'm talking to George Green right now. This is not the George Green of KABC, our beloved boss. But he's George Green, a successful businessman from Denver, Colorado. One-time member of the Air Force, and did see in one of the hangars at Edwards Air Force Base a flying saucer that the Air Force had there. Has become very interested in the Billy Meyer case and UFOs in general, and has spent a great deal of his time and his wealth in separating the wheat from the chaff in this particular subject, and we'll be back to it in just a moment. Did a recent poll, I think it was a Gallup poll, taken that the majority of Americans believe that there are extraterrestrials in Earth space. Many hundreds of thousands have seen them, but yet our government says, nah, there's no such thing exists, and if you go to newsrooms of newspapers, television stations, and radio stations across the country, the news editors will guffaw at all of that sort of stuff. But there is something very serious going on. As we've discussed before on this show, the Freedom of Information Act has released volumes of material from the federal government confirming the fact that there are extraterrestrials, there are flying saucers. Some of our greatest minds and generals like George C. Marshall and Douglas MacArthur have stated in their literature that is now public domain that you can read with their signature that there are flying saucers, and General MacArthur thought that's where our greatest problem was going to be, was from the people of space. But yet a lot of time people just want to sit back and kind of smile at that. It's much better to be involved in the latest wreck on the freeway, I guess. The flying saucer that you saw at Edwards Air Force Base, what did it look like?
It was similar to like a variation 2 or variation 3 of the beam ships presented by the Palladian. It was a round circular disc with a, dome
mm-hmm.
in the center of it. Small craft. It appears from now, after 20-some years later, looking at the craft that we see pictures of, it probably was from the planet of the Reticulate, or the Star...
Mm-hmm. The Reticulan ships, right?
Uh-huh. It was a very, a small craft. It's approximately 30 feet across.
Well, many of the ships from Pleiades are about that size, aren't they? The ones that we see most of the time?
True, they're one or two men craft.
Or women craft.
Or people craft.
People craft, in their case.
Right.
You're talking about the pictures. Are those magazines, are those marvelous books available? I know I used to have a number of copies of Volume 1. And somehow or another, those slipped out of my library. They just disappeared, coincided with a visitation from somebody, usually. I do have a Volume 2. Volume 1 is just unobtainable, I suppose, isn't it?
No, they're pretty hard to come by.
Yeah.
We have some of the Volume 2s available for people that are interested in getting them, and they can write to us. And
Want to give that address because I know a lot of people are interested in that.
Yeah, if they would just write to America West, and our address is Box 441335, Aurora, that's A-U-R-O-A-R-A, Colorado, 80044. We'll send them a list of all the different books that we have that are involved with UFOs.
Well, you're into more than just the Billy Meyer case, I understand. What are some of the other cases that have come across your desk that seem to have great merit?
Well, we just come back from Spain, and there's a case there that is very highly technical, and we're working with Colonel Stevens on the translating and the distribution of the information of the UMOs. And the UMOs seem to be willing to share their technical information. The problem that we find out with the technical information is that we haven't been able to put it to work yet. It's similar to a story that Wendell Stevens provided us with, a case in South America of the UFO occupants, so to speak, were mating with some South Americans in Brazil. We actually have a half-breed going on. And part of the family developed some kind of tumor of the body, and the extraterrestrials provided a salve to rub on the palms and also on the bottom of their feet. And this salve would go be absorbed into the system, and then a couple days later, a crust would form on the bottom of their palms and also the bottom of their feet, and the tumor would be dissolved from their body. I did get some of this salve and took it to Chemitox Labs in Boulder, Colorado, which is a famous laboratory. They ran for 2 days the spectrographic analysis of the material, and it doesn't match up with anything. The problems that we discussed with the doctor that does this up there, he says, it appears that the universe has all the same elements, but not necessarily in the same order.
Uh-huh.
So even though they give us the technical information, we haven't been able to rearrange the atoms, so to speak. Now, simplicity speaking, we all know that water's formula is H2O. But technically, it's not. It's HOH, or a hydrogen atom, and an OH atom. But what happens if we rearrange the atoms so it would be HHO?
Uh-huh.
That happens to be the little differentiations that we have throughout the universe. Could be still the same atoms, but just rearranged in the molecular order.
It would still be water, but a different kind of water.
Could be, and that's what we're finding out with, like, this salve. Before we could rearrange all the multitude of items within the salve that we had, we first have to determine how to get to that that position, and we were unable to do that. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we have an unidentified substance that appears to do what they're saying, but we can't recreate it. Meanwhile, we go back to the Pleiadians, and I listen to their story, and they say, yes, if we would take all of our technology and go for a positive vein, we would be able to obtain all of the information they have in the next 200 to 300 years.
Or maybe even faster if we'd set our mind to it.
There's a lot of these things that are being made available to us through other sources that it appears that we have all the information if we could all collectively utilize what they're providing to us. Again, we have to go back to saying, well, is this fact or not? It appears that it has a lot of validity to it. We have to sort out what is the malarkey in it, so to speak, and what is real.
Well, you see, we also have, in the ethic of our society, a great problem with great advances in technology. If we suddenly appear with a great quantum leap advance in technology, it will probably not get off the ground because we have such vested interest in the old technology. And it takes those the entrepreneurs, or the ones that have the money and the marketing and these things, to get them on the market, to get something really new and good into the hands of the people, and they're not about to do it at the expense of all of the other investment that they've got going on. Kind of a sad catch-22 that we have put ourselves in on this planet.
It would appear that the extraterrestrials are aware of this, and even though that the most of the ones that we have information on have a hard time understanding the concepts that we do of the capitalistic structure, they do understand the natural evolution, and they try to set back as our brother. They passively want to get involved,
mm-hmm.
and then independently they get involved and reveal a bunch of information, and they say that they were directly involved in providing a lot of this information to us from our previous history. It's like our discussing UFOs per se on the radio tonight. You would also have the same problem going down and discussing something way ahead of this, where the Pleiadians are discussing their ahead 3,500 years, and yet they're in communication with people that are 5,000 or 10,000 years ahead of them technologically.
Like the Dal universe.
Like the Dal universe. So they're all interchanging ideas, but they only do it when the consciousness is raised enough to allow this information to come through.
Well, certainly if you were to allow information to come to this planet that was that quantum leap, and the planet wasn't ready for it, you've wasted your time.
That's one of the reasons that they look at all. They are very, very much afraid of nuclear energy. They feel that's the only thing that bothers them, that they would interfere. The rest of us killing off each other, that's just a day-to-day thing. But the actually, the nuclear energy, when the blasts go by, it seems we always have sightings of UFOs around them, and they explain that they want to watch this. They watch our primitive playing around with our firecrackers, but the nuclear energy actually affects interdimensionally, which we theorize but don't understand at this point, but it affects them.
So we're shooting in someone else's backyard whenever we fire those off.
We're affecting life not only on our planet, but all planets throughout the system.
Which could get somebody very unhappy.
Which they are very much watching out for.
Mm-hmm. The UMOs, this was the group first in Spain. As I recall in talking to Wendell, it seems that they did provide some technology over there that dealt with photography.
That's true.
Yeah. What kind of technology did they give us?
Well, I'm in a process right now of providing the money to put out the book on the UMO case.
Mm-hmm.
And I was more going in, rather than the photography in it, again, I'm looking at propulsion on a personal basis. And I was just correlating their propulsion methods along with the Pleiadians. The photographic information, I really didn't spend my time that I wanted to with them on that.
But they did develop some technology in Spain based upon that information, I understand.
That's what I understand, too. I hope a little later on tonight we'll be able to talk to Wendell.
We've got to try. We're trying our best to talk to Wendell, and we'll try to get through to him and his daughter tonight so that they can add something to the subject. We're talking about the extraterrestrial. The Billy Meyer case, certainly paramount in that, I think, one of the better known, if not the best known, of the contact cases, but certainly not the only one that is going on. And it still seems to be going on now. And we'll also try to get some reports from Tucson live for you tonight about a squadron of UFOs that was sighted over that city just yesterday. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's openly going on. George is expressing to us the idea that it is really going on. He has seen one parked in a hangar at Edwards Air Force Base while he was in the Air Force himself some time ago. I'm going to let the audience talk to you a little bit, George. Let them ask questions. You know, they're the best interrogators of them all. Let me give you the numbers for you to call in and talk to George tonight.
Hi. Good evening. How are you, Mr. Jenkins?
Great.
Welcome back from Fiji.
Well, it's good to be back.
And Mr. Reed, how are you this evening?
Very good.
Yes, I've done some work and proceeding with some work with Lee Elders of the Genesis Publishing Company, and of course his involvement with Billy Myers. And one of the unfortunate things is that Mr. Myers seems to be have been affected physically and mentally by the UFO presence. And I mentioned to him I do biomagnetic work, and that perhaps some biomagnetic treatments might be of assistance to it. I wonder if you know about that and could comment on that. And can I relate a story to you? There was a couple of months ago when Mr. Elders was on, he played a tape, audio tape of the UFO sounds, and I've been experimenting with the sound to see what would happen. And one of the interesting things is that just for fun, I decided to play it on my CB walkie-talkie on channel 14, matter of fact. And after I'd done that, my lights started to flicker and they went out a couple of times, so I don't know if I was contacting anybody or anything, but it was kind of spooky. So, could you comment on if any other people have been affected by UFO, physically, medically?
I can tell you about Billy. Billy's in pretty good health right now. He did have an accident, a tractor accident, and fell off and hit his head.
He seems to be aging, however. There's some speculation that this travel that he's done on aboard the craft has caused some kind of premature aging.
Uh-huh.
Billy seems to be in good health last time I was over there. And then, of course, talking to Switzerland this last week, they said everything is fine and Billy is getting around and, is able to talk to people.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't